What's up, y'all? I'm Wild Thang, and welcome to another great episode of The Bullshit Report, proudly sponsored by LiquorLollipops.com. Check them out online for great tasting, non-alcoholic, liquor-flavored hard candy. Goons in basketball have been around since the very beginning. When basketball first started out, it wasn't very athletic. It was more of a means of fitness, of staying in shape, of building camaraderie with your fellow man, and rallying around something that everyone can agree in. Well, things have changed. The game is developed and enhanced, and players' mindsets and pay have all changed and increased. And because of that, the type of ways they act and react has changed as well. As many of you probably know, in the very beginning, say like in the 70s and the 80s in basketball, there weren't very few financially secure players. Many of the players had to have off-season jobs. So as soon as the season would end, they would have to go back to work at the factory to make, you know, additional money to take care of themselves and their families, and to tide them over until the season began again. So because of this, a lot of players at that time, during that time frame, you know, they had way more on their mind, you know, societal issues and pressures and bills to deal with when they was on the floor. So some of the times, you know, those emotions would spill over. And when those emotions would spill over, sometimes you would see a basketball player start boxing, literally. Like ice hockey players, when they get pissed off and they start fighting, well, that's how basketball used to be. You know, at any given time, if a person felt disrespect or like you were trying to belittle them, you know, they would stop the game right there and square up, you know what I'm saying, and go for it. Now, some of the legendary goons of the game are players like Bill Laimbeer, Dennis Rodman, from the Detroit Pistons, the Bad Boy Detroit Pistons. You have players like Bill Cartwright. He was an enforcer for the Chicago Bulls. You had players like Otis Thorpe for the Houston Rockets. He was an enforcer. And what has happened, you know, since the 90s, basketball contracts have exploded, you know. Since Michael Jordan dethroned the Detroit Pistons, the landscape of the NBA has, like, totally changed. Totally changed. And then when LeBron came, and when he went to Miami to team up with his buddies, Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, to create that Super 3, that completely changed the NBA. And then you go a little bit further up, and then you see Kevin Durant. When Kevin Durant joined the Golden State Warriors and made like one of the most crazy lineups ever, then the notion of that aggression, that hostility, that anger, you know, against your fellow player kind of dissipated. So in today's NBA, even if you have two rivals, rival teams like the Lakers versus the Celtics or the Spurs versus the Rockets, you know, historically those games have been pretty chippy, but not anymore. You know, after the game is over, most of these guys, they go hang out, party, and, you know, shoot the breeze. They're buddies. So with all that being said, who is the last goon standing in the NBA? And you got to think about this, because typically in the past, your goons will be your power players, your post players, whether that be a center Like Dikembe Mutombo, or a power forward like Kevin Garnett. And your front court players, which are like your small forwards, point guards, and shooting guards, tend to be more finesse. Well, in the NBA right now, the traditional low post center has really been phased out, right? There's not too many back to the basket, bullying, dunking on you like Shaq type centers anymore. So you're not going to really find that power, that enforcement in your center position. Even one of the top centers in the game right now, Rudy Gobert, you know, he's not that much of an enforcer. I mean, he blocks shots, he rebounds, he's a great defensive player, but just that goon mentality to dominate and, you know, conquer a person is not in him. So you have to look at the other position players in the NBA if you're really looking for that hard-nosed bulldog type mentality that could borderline on being a goon. And when I think about, you know, players like Charles Oakley and Anthony Mason, God bless his soul, both play for the New York Knicks. You know, what I think about is rough, tumble. What I think about the Indiana Pacers when they had the Davis boys, Antonio Davis and Dale Davis, you know, banging out down low, you know what I'm saying, and pushing people out the way. The two players that come to mind to me, one is Kyle Lowry, point guard for the Toronto Raptors. And the second is Patrick Beverley, point guard for the LA Clippers. Well, let me start out with Patrick Beverley and his makeup. Patrick Beverley did not take the traditional route to get to the NBA. He had to play in foreign leagues. He went undrafted. When he did make it to the NBA, he was an afterthought. He had to bust his ass and work three times as hard just to be noticed. And then when he finally got on the team, he came off the bench, didn't have very many minutes. So when he made it onto the floor, he had to make him count. And he played so good and so hard that he finally got an opportunity when Chris Paul was traded from the LA Clippers to the Houston Rockets. So now it gives him a time to shine on a LA Clippers team that a lot of people are choosing to win a championship. And when you look at that team, you know, you got Kawhi Leonard, you got Paul George, you know, you got a number of big status players. But most of the players on the LA Clippers, I won't call them soft, but they're not hard. And when you think about the hardest players on the Clippers, the real bulldog, that is Patrick Beverley. And the way that they use Patrick Beverley, they'll start him at point guard. They'll put him at a two guard. They'll even have him guarding small forwards or power forwards. You know, whoever the team feels at that time is dominating and needs to be shut down, you know, minus the, like, super long power forwards or centers, they sticking Pat Beverley on them because they know Pat Beverley is going to chew your ass up. He will not stop. You know, Patrick Beverley has some classic games in the playoffs against Russell Westbrook, you know, where he really made his name in the league and being a top-notch player. And then we go to Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry recently won a championship with the Toronto Raptors. He's a hell of a leader. He's been in the league a long time, though. He came into the league as a first-round draft pick, but it wasn't a lot of great expectations on him. When he came into the league, he didn't really have a jumper. He's not really tall, so he's not just dunking on you. He's not the fastest player. So because of those deficiencies, a lot of people look past what is one of Kyle Lowry's greatest strengths, which is his heart. his passion, his determination to be successful. I remember when Kyle Lowry was playing with the Houston Rockets years and years ago, you know, and he wasn't quite the player that he is now, but you could see that determination in him then, even coming off the bench. You know, he had to play for a number of teams and had to bounce around before he found his way with Toronto. And he was one of the biggest reasons why they won a championship last year. Now, true enough, Kawhi Leonard, the superstar, took the team to a whole nother level. However, Kyle Lowry's steady hand is what pushed the team all the way to the next level. You know, Kyle Lowry, you know, he looks like he has a Napoleon complex. And rightfully so. I'm sure he does. And I'm sure Pat Beverly does. And it's not just a Napoleon complex like I'm smaller than you, but it's a Napoleon complex of, you know, or better yet, a chip on their shoulder like, man, y'all thought I wasn't going to be nothing. Nobody ever believed in me. I'm going to show you. And they go out there every day, every game, and leave it on the court. So, but what is a goon? You know, a goon is a player that makes hard fouls. A goon is a player that plays tough defense. A goon is a player that will take shit personally. You know, if you intentionally foul one of my players, I will fuck up one of your players. That is the goon type mentality. And that is what Patrick Beverly and that's what Kyle Lowry embody. So next time you're looking at basketball, make sure you pay attention to these two guys, whether on the offensive side or the defensive side, and just check out how they carry themselves. And then you'll see for yourself what I've seen all along. These guys are the last two goons in the NBA. Holla back. I'm Wild Thang. Thanks for tuning in to another great episode of The Bullshit Report. And make sure you check out our sponsors, LiquorLollipops.com, makers of non-alcoholic liquor-flavored lollipops. And check out my latest release, streaming right now. Holla. So we had this dog, and the dog keeps jumping over the fence and going over into the neighbor's yard. And I was talking to my friend. I'm like, well, man, why does the dog want to go right next door into the neighbor's yard? Why does he go over there? And he was like, well, that's where the squirrels are. And he said, besides the squirrels, it's kind of taboo. It's a place you haven't been, a place you shouldn't go to. He said, you know, dogs are just like people. So that's why it goes over, because he thinks the grass is greener. And I'm like, yeah, well, the grass may be greener, but you still got to maintain it. You know, the grass still going to grow. You still got to cut it. If you don't care for it, then the grass going to become just like the grass you love. My buddy's like, yeah, well, that's true. He said, but most people don't even think like that. And you know, it's real bullshit involved in that, because it's like, when you think about it, really what it's all about is cultivating. And the thing you're looking to cultivate is yourself, you know, in the process of cultivating your life. So it's not about looking at who got what, because it's always going to be somebody ahead of you. And it's going to be somebody behind you that wish they had the things that you had. So for you just to appreciate what you have and to make the most of it is like remarkable. Although it's so simple, it's just remarkable. You know, to focus on what you have and to figure out what you need to do to make what you have more. That's what it's all about. And it's not difficult at all, because the thing in which you had to work with is the thing you're most familiar with. It's the place you've been at all the time. It's within yourself. It's within your life. It's not in somebody else's life. It's not outside of you. It's not in the neighbor's yard. It's not across town. It's not out of town. It's not down the street. It's not in a fling. It's not anywhere else. You're not going to be able to find it, but in yourself. And grooming and making sure that your yard is nice and presentable. It's okay for your yard to go down, for things not to work out like you want to. You know, you put a garden up or something, or you got some grass, it didn't grow like you thought it was. Well, shit, you just go back to work and you fix it. And you make it part of your vision. Because it's all about your individuality. It's about what you want. And you got to know, like, if your whole purpose is just to trample on things and to make something pretty ugly, then anywhere you go is going to be destruction. So it's not going to be a good thing. The grass is not going to be greener. Or if it's going to be greener, it's only going to be for a temporary time. So if the things you want are the greatest things, then it's best you cultivate what you have. And what you'll find is it's a lot easier to make your own grass greener than to maintain the next yard, or the yard down the street, or the yard across the country. Simply because you know your yard better than any other yard in the world. You're most familiar with that. So just keep that in mind while you're out there doing your thing. And don't let the bullshit get it twisted. Because really, the real question is, to be quite honest with you, is who created the fence? Who put the fence in the middle? What the fence represents? Why is the fence there? But that's a whole nother thing. But right now, only thing you need to focus on is maintaining your own yard and making it as beautiful and as spectacular and as kick-ass and as awesome as you possibly can. And just trust that as you're working and tending to your own yard and to your own garden, that magic along the way is going to happen while you're working. Let the magic catch you while you're working. Let the look catch you while you're working. Let the breaks catch you while you're working. And you're not going to miss. If you're worried right now, if you're worried about something, that most likely means you need to get to work. You need to work on something. Don't worry. Work. You know what I'm talking about? Don't worry about no bullshit. Don't worry about no finances. Work. If that work is prayer, then work. If that work is talking to somebody, then work. If that work is physically making some money, then work. Do what you need to do. That's what work means. Put that work in. Just like you're going to take care of your yard. Just like you're going to take care of your yard. Make sure you put that work in. And it's gonna work out for you. It has to. As long as you live, you live. You know what I'm saying? So make it work. Holler.